My name is Alan Morse. Today, again, we're going to back, and we're going to be in 2 Timothy. So get your Bibles out, and we're going to be in Lesson 2, in 2 Timothy. And we're in Chapter 1, and we're going to start again on verse 10 to get this flow going the way it should. We ended just the end of that verse, but we're going to start, go over it again, and we're going to, that way it'll go right into the other verses. So get your Bibles out. And this is tremendous teaching. Not my teaching. This is God teaching. It has nothing to do with me. Everything that I'm teaching here is not me speaking. It's God speaking through me because I'm teaching God's Word. See, this is God's Word. It has nothing to do with me. You have your Bibles out to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's look at verses 10. It said, "But is made manifest by his appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to the light." How do you do it? Through the gospel. See, we have mortality and we have life because of the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And that's all Paul preached for salvation for the body of Christ. Now look at what it says in 11. Thereunto, Paul's saying, I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. I mean, it's just as plain as day. What are we? We're Gentiles. We're Gentiles. See, Jesus didn't go to Gentiles. He only went. He said, I've only went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Are Gentiles a part of the house of Israel? No. Did Peter, James, and John go to, did they ever find anything in their writings where they say, we're teaching the Gentiles? No. Well, somebody said, well, I know that Peter went to a Gentile. Well, yeah, he went to Cornelius. But why did he go to Cornelius? Because God wanted to show him that Gentiles are saved different than Jews. You see, Jews were saved by keeping the law. And by over 700 different laws and regulations they were dealt with. They also had to repent. They had to be baptized, you see. They had to believe Jesus was the Messiah. That was salvation for the Gentiles. That's not salvation that's salvation for the Jews. That's not salvation for the Gentiles, see. They're totally different. And Jesus wanted Paul and Peter to understand salvation for the Gentiles has nothing to do with salvation for the Jews. All we have to do is believe the gospel. That's all we have to do. And God takes it from there totally, 100%. He is responsible for you and everything you do from then on. Because he's going to live in you. And that never was heard of when Peter, James, and John spoke, and when Jesus spoke. See? Verse 12, it says, "For this cause I also suffer these things." See? Because what? He was a preacher to the Gentiles, and he preached the gospel. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have," I got to change the page, "which I have committed unto him against that day." He had utmost faith. You know why? He saw Jesus. Who do you think called him on the road to Damascus and he saw him face to face? See? Who do you think where he went and spent 3 years down in Saudi Arabia, in that Arabia Peninsula, probably to Sinai, same place Moses saw Jesus. And he gave him the walking orders for the body of Christ, that he would be the apostle of the Gentiles there, and he preached the gospel for salvation. He talked to him. We also know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about a man, then all of a sudden it's him who actually went and saw Christ in heaven. You see, he was stoned in Lystra, and he was killed. There's no doubt about that. And his soul and spirit went to heaven, and he saw things that he just couldn't believe. And Jesus had to give him a thorn in the flesh. You're not to mention none of this when I raise you from the dead. And he did. He raised him from the dead when he was stoned to death. But he saw Jesus, so he had a tremendous belief in Jesus, and he had committed him against that he was no problem. Whatever happened, he knew that he was in Jesus' hands. It says, hold fast, verses 13. Hold fast the form of a sound word which thou hast heard of me. In faith. What's his faith? In the gospel. It's always the gospel. I told you that in the last session. And love, which is in Christ Jesus. See? Christ, Jesus lives in you if you believe the gospel. He is a part of your life. He will guide and direct you to everywhere you go, and he's responsible, and he's going to make sure that you are ready to come to heaven when God comes, either in the rapture or your death. It's up to him, not you. It's up to him. He dwells in us. And how that happens? When we believe the gospel in Ephesians 1:13. When you believe that gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And when you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, that's proof that you're saved. Proof that you're saved. You see, it's total. You see, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 9, he says, if you not have the Spirit, you're not of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5, Paul says, he tells us to examine ourselves. Examine yourself. Does Christ live in you? If he said, if he doesn't, you're discredited. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you see, and that's what you're discredited, you're not saved. And that's what the problem with the church is today. Their salvation isn't the gospel. They went to Judaism and they just believe in Jesus like the Jews were supposed to. But that's not salvation for the church. And thus they don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's why the churches are in the situation they're in. And nobody is saved unless you're filled with the Spirit. And you can only get the Spirit by believing the gospel, Ephesians 1:13. And it's a gift from God. It doesn't come from any place else. You can't buy it. You can't pray for it. You can't walk an aisle for it. You can't confess your sins for it. You can't repent for it. You can only get it by believing the gospel. And when you believe the gospel, it's a gift to you, and it proves that you are saved. And you become children of God. Not only children of God, this is Romans chapter 8, 15, 16, 7. You're not only children of God, you're heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ because you have the Spirit of God living in you. How wonderful. Now, this next verse is a verse that just blows you away. And it's just hard to comprehend. And remember, he's writing this letter to Timothy, and he knows this well. And that they are devastated. Think about this now. Think about this. It's verse 15. It says, this thou knowest, that all they that are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Parmenas and Hermogenes. These were the two people that were primarily involved in getting this done. But all the churches in Asia, think about that. Ephesians, Ephesus. Guess who was the pastor of Ephesus? Timothy. Timothy was. And he knew it. He saw this happen to his church. Laodicea, Colossae, the Galatian churches, Iconium, and Lystra, and Derbe, and all the churches that are in Revelations, all those churches are all in Asia. That's in Turkey today. And it says they have all they that are in Asia have turned away from me. Comprehension of that would just that's worse than death. But you see, that's what's happened in the world today. The churches, all the churches have turned away from God. They turned away from Paul's writings. And that he has the only salvation for mankind, and that's the gospel. And I've been in several of the major denominations, and none of them preach the gospel for salvation. You go to any church you want to, I don't care where it is, and you look at what they believe, and you'll get down to the bottom of what they believe, and they'll always tell you, you've got to take Jesus as your Savior, or you've got to believe in Jesus for your salvation. That's not the gospel. Jesus didn't point to himself. He pointed to what he did. And nobody could go to heaven until Christ died on that cross. And that's why he pointed to salvation for the God, for the church. Nobody goes to heaven. And I told you the time before that all the Old Testament saints couldn't go to heaven. They had to go to paradise because the sin debt hadn't been paid for until Christ died on that cross. And he went down there and told them, I died for your sins. And they believed him and they took him up to heaven. Nobody's in heaven unless they believe the gospel. This is a shocking, shocking thing for anybody. But we're seeing the same thing. And we're going to see some things here in this next chapter that is just as shocking. So let's go on to 16. It says, the Lord gave mercy unto the house of this Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out. And it probably wasn't an easy thing to do in the prisons. Very diligently and found me. And the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he had ministered unto me at Ephesus. Thou knowest very well. See, he knew that Timothy knew that very well. And he's hoping that he has not been overcome by these Judaizers that came into the churches and spread works in those churches. See, there's no works in our church, but it's the religion is works. Religion is of hell. If you're religious, you're damned, because religion is working, a man working to be able to please God. But that isn't salvation, because we're based on the grace of God, because Jesus did it all. We do no works, not works of righteousness, not by that, but what Christ did on that cross, you see. And you don't add anything to it. Nothing. Nothing to it. If you add anything to it, your Christ has no benefit for you whatsoever. Read it. And we won't turn there, but to Galatians chapter 5, just read those first four verses. When they were adding things to the gospel, he said, Christ has no benefit for you. If you keep the law, you have fallen from grace. You see, that's the only way a person that in the body of Christ can lose their salvation. You do not keep in remembrance of the gospel, and that if you add to it. You do not do that. And you can't do that if you have the Holy Spirit. It won't happen. It's impossible. You see. If somebody walks away from the body of Christ, they never believed it in the first place. They didn't lose their salvation. They were never saved in the first place. But God will not put the Holy Spirit on anybody that isn't going to be a true believer. It's impossible. Because those persons, when you put the Holy Spirit on, those persons are going to live eternity with Christ. And there's not going to be anybody in heaven that doesn't believe the gospel for their salvation. It won't happen. It won't happen. Now, we're going to be talking about a verse that I think is tremendously important. The world doesn't understand it. But this is what's happened today. It says, therefore, my son, he's talking to Timothy, of course, chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. What's the grace? Unmerited favor. Continue. He knows that they've lost the churches in Asia, and his church also, because people have come into that church and added to the grace of God, unmerited favor of God. And when they did that, Christ has no benefit for them. See, they've added to it. But he tells him to be strong in the grace. No matter what's happened, you be strong in the grace. That is in Christ Jesus. See, be strong in the grace. Now, let's look what that says, what that means. Just go to Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians. Ephesians, back to the left, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Look what this says. We're talking about be strong in the grace. Look what it said. For by grace you're saved. What's grace? Unmerited favor by what Christ did on that cross. He died for you. He paid the sin, and his grace is what saved you. Nothing else. Nothing else. His grace, he died for your sin. That's and he was buried and he rose from the dead. That saved you through faith. Through faith in what? Paul, it's always the gospel, because there's no salvation other than the gospel. So you're saved by the grace of God through the faith, through the gospel, and not of yourself. See, nothing that you could do. It's what Christ did. And it's just through your faith in the gospel. It is a gift of God. You don't work for a gift. You see, And that's why he tells us we don't be baptized to be saved. We don't speak in tongues to be saved. We don't join a church to be saved. We don't pray to Mary to be saved. We are saved by believing the gospel and unmerited favor of Jesus Christ. He did it all. See, it's a gift to God, and all you got to do is take it. See, not of any works you do. See, why did preachers keep telling you got to do this and you got to do this? You got to pay your tithe and you got to come to church and you got to do this to be saved. You got to no. It's a gift. You don't work for a gift. You don't work for a gift. He gives you the gift and you take it. How do you take it? By believing what He did on that cross. See. That's how you get it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, if it was by works, can you imagine what heaven would be like? You couldn't get around it. Go across the street corner, somebody come up to you and say, "Oh, hello, Al, how did you get here?" Man, I didn't have any problem. You know, I was a great preacher, you know, and I had hundreds of people that I saved, you know, and I supported missionaries, and I did this. You see, there's no I in heaven. The only thing we look to is a Savior, because we know we're there for one reason and one reason only, by His grace, by His death on that cross, by believing the gospel. And everybody will have the same mindset, or they won't be in heaven. There's no I in heaven, not one I in heaven, because all the works that you've done on this earth, even if you believe the gospel and you claim your works, that's your reward. Because when you get to heaven, you're going to watch every one of them burn up. And so you can't brag on stuff that's burned up. You see, only what God does through you will you be rewarded for. So if I come back and tell everybody, well, I taught this gospel for all these years, see. I did this, and that's it for me. That doesn't mean I lose my salvation, but I'm going to watch it burn up. You see, but if God is doing it through me, He gets the glory and I'll get a reward. See, that's what it's all about. It's not what we do. It's what God does through you. That's what happens. Just turn to Colossians. Let me show you this. Go back to Colossians. Let me show you this. This is important. Colossians chapter 1, and it's the last verse in Colossians. This is how important I'm talking about. Verses 29. Colossians chapter 1, verses 29. Look what it says. It says, "Thereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh mightily, worketh in me mightily." It's His workings, not Paul's workings. It's God working through him. And that's what's happening as you're listening today. It's God working through me. It has nothing to do with me whatsoever. All I'm doing is plagiarizing His book. What's plagiarizing mean? I'm doing it verse by verse. See, I'm telling you what the book said. Not what I think. I'm telling you what the book says. I agree with it, but it doesn't make any difference. It's not me. It's God's word. You see, striving according to His workings, which worketh mightily in Him. You see? That's what we as believers do. We allow God to work in our lives. Fantastic. Okay, let's work. We're in chapter 2. Go back to the text, chapter 2, and let's look at verses 2. "And these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." What is that? He's preaching the gospel. Among many witnesses, he's preaching the gospel. "The same commit to what? To faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now, we've just saw that all the churches in Asia were destroyed. We just saw when we studied First Timothy, we taught the requirements for a pastor or a bishop or a deacon. But you see, God showed Paul in that time has come that we can't rely on the pastors and the churches today. We need to go to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, I spent 70 years in church. In my lifetime, I was raised in church. I was always in church. I had church in my house for 18 years. But I never heard the gospel. Not one. I was in the Methodist church, as I was in the Baptist church, I was in the Christian church, I was at the Catholic church. I'd never been in a church that preached the gospel to this day. Not one. I heard the gospel from a faithful man by the name of Les Feldick. And he's a cattle rancher in Oklahoma, but he teaches, and he's the best teacher that I've ever heard in my life. And he pointed the gospel, and as soon as I heard it, I believed it. And now I know why. You see, I have been called since before the foundation of the world, and it was up to God to get the gospel to me. So the churches weren't doing it. So he called a person by the name of Les Feldick, who has a television ministry every day, and where I live anyway, from every morning at 6:30 for 5 days a week. And he teaches the gospel verse by verse. And he's the greatest teacher that I've ever listened to. But anyway, Paul told him, go to faithful men. He didn't say go to deacons, didn't go to pastors, didn't go to bishops. He said go to faithful men, because the church has let them down, and he's done it today. I don't know of any churches in my area that preach the gospel. I know a couple of them in Texas, but I don't know that for sure, but I think they do. But I haven't been there to hear it myself. But what I'm trying to say is, it's just few and far between. People aren't hearing the gospel. And so he told him to go to faithful men. Now, it's just, we're gonna go from there, verse 3, and we're going to skip. We're going to come back there, but we're going to go directly to verse 24, because it finishes that verse. It says, from verse 24, he said, we just found that they were going to go to faithful men. And it says, and the servant of the Lord, who's that going to be in the future? Faithful men, you see. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Everybody opposes me, but that's okay. All I'm doing is teaching what the book says. See, it's not me. It has nothing to do with me. It's they're opposing God's word when they oppose this. When they oppose themselves, for if God preadventure will give them repentance, those people that oppose the teaching, these ministers, these faithful men, give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. What's the knowledge of the truth? The gospel. Paul said it in Ephesians 1:15. When you believe the truth, the knowledge of the truth, the word of the truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, you see. You will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. The knowledge of truth is the gospel. When they repent to the knowledge of truth, or to the gospel, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. That's exactly what I had to do. I had to repent. What I mean by repent, I had to turn around and turn away from Judaism and to the body of Christ. And salvation in the body of Christ was the gospel. And when I told Jesus that I believed the gospel, when I believed the gospel that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead, when I repented of not believing that, he filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I was studying the scriptures at the time, and I never was able to study before. Never able to study, maybe 10 minutes at a time. My mind would go everywhere, but then I'd read it over and over again. But 10 hours later, I was studying the Bible, and I haven't quit. And I'm never going to quit. I spend hours upon hours every day in the Scripture and love every second of it, because God's living in me. Look what it says, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. See, before I was lost, I was under the snare of the devil. I've been deceived, totally deceived, who were taken, what? Captive by him. Who? Satan, at his will. At his will. We've got to turn here. Turn back to 2 Corinthians. Let me show you what Satan's will is. Turn back to Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look what it says in verse 3. Mark this down. Mark this down if you haven't already. It says, but if our gospel be hid. What's the gospel? That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You see, it was hid to me. I never knew the gospel was salvation. And I was lost, see. Okay? In whom the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Satan. What did he do? He hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. They did not believe the gospel. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what happens to the churches today. They've been totally blinded by Satan. Paul calls it his... Just to turn here. We've got time. Just turn to chapter 11, verses 13. Turn to chapter 11, verses 13. Look what it says. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 13. It says, "For the false apostles, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." You can turn the TV on and watch these people talk all the time, because none of them, when they get down to being saved, ever tell you to believe the gospel. Just always believe in Jesus. Take him into your heart. You see, take Jesus as your Savior. That's not the gospel. The gospel is plain as it can be, that you believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel, see. It says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into angel of light." Now listen to this. "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers," Satan's ministers, who are in every church in the country, "his ministers are also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Think about that. They have blinded, we have been blinded totally from the gospel. Totally from the gospel. So, that's why I went over here. We're going to go, it's just tremendously important to understand this. And the blindness is just, it's people can't comprehend it. I talked to pastors, and he said, "Well, I gave them the gospel." They just can't believe it. But I said, "It's not me telling you. It's what the book says." "Well, I just can't think that believing in Jesus isn't the same thing." Well, did it say that believing in Jesus? No, what's the gospel? Did it mention believing in Jesus? If God wanted us to believe in Jesus for our salvation, why did he choose a new church? And why did he call Paul? Why did he choose the body of Christ that he is the head of it? Why didn't he just send Paul, after he was believed that Jesus was the Messiah, send him up there and work with Peter and James and John and preach to the whole world? Why? Because that gospel didn't work. Nobody could be saved by it, because nobody could keep the commandments. You see, nobody could do it. And they didn't. This gospel was rejected. That's why he brought a new gospel, and he went to a new group of people. He set them Jews aside, and they're going to deal with them again. He set them aside, and he called out a new church called the Body of Christ, and salvation wasn't based on believing in Jesus. It was based on believing what he did, because what he did is what saved you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time to teach your word. We praise you for all you do for us. Watch over us and open the hearts and the minds of people so they come to the saving knowledge of the gospel. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.